window, leaning her habit out and saying, "I need 10,000 double cheeseburgers, please." I liked Trump the way I liked Batman. He was what 8-year-old me thought a gazillionaire should be like. His name in 10-foot-high letters on skyscrapers and on giant jets, hot and cold running blondes hanging on each arm, $1,000 bills sticking out of his socks. So I knew the whole running for president thing had to have an angle. There's always an angle. The trick was figuring out what it was. The first time I met Donald Trump, way back when, I was the back page columnist at Sports Illustrated. I was playing in the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am when he came at me with a Bible salesman grin and a short-fingered hand to shake. His wife, Marla Maples, was smiling at me too. "Uh-oh," I thought, "what's this?" "You're my favorite writer," Trump bellowed. "I love your stuff. Tell him, Marla." "He does," she said. "Look." And she pulled out of her purse a column I'd written. Okay, there was the setup. What was the hook? "So," he said, "when are you going to write about me?" Ah, there it was. No problem. Trump was the most accessible, bombastic, and quotable businessman in the world. Why would I turn that down? So when I set out to write my golf book, Who's Your Caddy?, in which I'd caddy for 12 golf legends, celebrities, and oddballs, I asked if he wanted to be a chapter. "Absolutely," he said. When the day came, he didn't have anybody to play with, so he announced that I wouldn't be caddying for him, I'd be playing with him. All right, you take what you get. We played as Trump National Golf Club Westchester in Briarcliff Manor, New York, and it was like spending the day in a hyperbole hurricane. Trump didn't just lie nonstop about himself that day. He lied nonstop about me. He'd go up to some member and say, "This is Rick. He's president of Sports Illustrated." The guy would reach out to shake my hesitant hand, but by then Trump had dragged me forward to the next member, or secretary, or chef. "This is Rick. He publishes Sports Illustrated." Before I could object, he'd go, "And this is Chef. He was voted best hamburger chef in the world." And the poor chef would look at me and shake his head with a helpless, "No, same as me." When we were alone, I finally said, "Donald, why are you lying about me?" "Sounds better," he said. Sounding better is Trump's MO. It colors everything he says and does. The truth doesn't break an egg with Trump. It's all about how it sounds, how it looks, and the fact checkers can go run a 100-yard dash in a 50-yard gym. A friend of mine had dinner with Trump and his wife, Melania, in 2015, when this whole presidential thing was starting to simmer. The husbands and wives had veered off into separate conversations. The wife said, "You have a lovely accent, Melania. Where are you from?" "Slovenia," she said. Trump, in mid-sentence, turned to her and interjected, "Say Austria, sounds better." But when I read The Big Lie, it nearly made me spit out my Cheerios. It was a tweet he'd originally posted in 2013, but I hadn't read it until the campaign began. Trump was embroiled in one of his hundreds of celebrity feuds, this one with somebody in his weight class, Dallas Mavericks owner and billionaire sports fan Mark Cuban. Cuban had dissed him on some forgettable TV show years before. "I think I said, 'I can write a bigger check than Trump right now and not even know it was missing,'" Cuban remembers. Trump seethed about it. Trump can dish out the insults by the steam shovel, but he can't take a teaspoonful back. His rule is, "When I'm attacked, I fight back 10 times harder." He vowed lifetime revenge on Cuban that day. That's when he challenged Cuban on Twitter. "Golf match. I've won 18 club championships, including this weekend." At M. Cuban swings like a little girl with no power or talent. Mark's a loser. Donald J. Trump, March 19, 2013. 18 championships? That's like an NFL quarterback telling you he's won 18 Super Bowls. It's preposterous. It's a Macy's Thanksgiving Day float of a lie. Besides, Trump had already given away his little secret of how he does it that day at Westchester. "Whenever I open a new golf course," he told me, "I play the official opening round, and then I just call that the first club championship."